about the wrecking machine. Change up the dial on the jukebox.
Dance me up on the jukebox.
Jukebox.
Juke Jones.
Got a jukebox.
We had Spike Jones.
The Continental is putting out a Best of New York City live at the Continental, and we're recording tonight.
Careful what you wish for.
We welcome the legendary club's manager, Traeger, and salute over 30 years of music from the East Village and Lower East Side alternative rock scene.
Okay, listen, we got the fire department outside. I gotta do one song and cut it.
Including exclusive live performances at Continental by Iggy Pop, Joey Ramone, and more.
Wax to the hair of my favorite shoes. Gotta offer that you might refuse. Tonight we're gonna take a stab. Come on along, grab a can. It must look at so. Close your eyes, here we go. Here at the talent show. Here at the talent show. Check us out, here we go. Here at the talent show. Talent, where the you go. Here at the talent show. You take. Regina guitars and Regina club picks. And we know all actors and lips and chips. Feeling good for the pills we took. Oh, maybe don't get a letter. It must look at so. Close your eyes, here we go. Playing at the talent show. Playing at the talent show. Look at the seat in the front row. Playing at the talent show. Pop around.
A rare radio-only release of The Replacements live at the moment that the Continental Club served as exactly the kind of place that was described in that song Talent Show. Celebrating the rock and roll heart of the East Village and the Lower East Side, and our guide through the gritty side streets is Traeger, owner of Continental, and you should know, by the way, we really miss Continental as well as CBGB's.
When I closed, it was the same month, about 3 weeks earlier than CBGB's closed for good. I stopped doing live music and kept it open as a local bar. But the Village Voice did a spread on both clubs, which in my working career, that was the biggest honor to go out with CB's that way.
Well, Continental's heyday was the 90s, but let's take it back to the origins of the East Village scene with a couple of early classics. We'll do one by Mink DeVille coming up, but first, the unofficial mayor of the Lower East Side and leader of the group that bears that name, David Peel.
Well, I think that my opinion about this here situation now is the way that people want to live their own business. And I wish to join it.
We are from the Lower East Side. We don't give a damn if we live or die. We are from the Lower East Side. We don't give a damn if we live or die. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Everybody wants to be another friend. We are not crazy, we give you all the facts. We are the underground, we like it.
Dressed in red, she's spinning all my friends' heads. Now on a rainy afternoon, I asked her, honey, you wanna ride my car? I knew it couldn't be too soon. I knew a love would go far.
See the queen of my block. What's it take? there she goes, there she goes. In her high heel shoes and her silk stockings and her dress is so tight. She's all right. Now on a rainy afternoon, I asked you, wanna ride my car? I knew it couldn't be too soon. I knew a love would go far. I see you walking down the street. She looking good enough. She my inspiration, Justin Ray. Spinning all my friends' head. Now in the back of the boy, they're talking about to say yeah. Now in the back of the boy, yeah, they're talking about to say yes. She the queen.
Lower East Side classics, Mink DeVille and Venus of Avenue D, and David Peel and the Lower East Side.
Here's a song about staying out late in our neighborhood.
It's all about the East Village and the Lower East Side as we welcome Trigger of the Continental. And we'll hear music that set the scene, as well as exclusive live recordings from the club. Now, Trigger, Degeneration was such a big part of it all, and Jesse Malin has come up with a great song about what it's all become, which we're going to hear in a moment.
Well, Jesse's one of my dearest friends, you know, we just spoke yesterday, and Degeneration, I had two favorite bands that got signed out of my club. Degeneration signed their record deal with EMI in the bathroom. Our bathrooms were supposedly just a step up from CBGB's bathrooms. And so Degeneration, great guys. I see these guys all the time still. They're all in New York. And the other, my other favorite band that got signed out of my club was Honky Toast. Two of the guys from Honky Toast are in Guns N' Roses now. Richard Fortus, lead guitar player, and Frank is the drummer of Guns N' Roses. Great players. Great guys.
Jesse Malin really put his heart into a great song that nails it. St. Mark's Sunset.
We'll be right back.
Side of East Village music scene, D-Generation and Jesse Malin, East Side mainstays. You know, Jesse got behind Bowery Electric, and he's palled around with Green Day in the early days. He still does. Trigger, you got to bring into Continental some acts just as they were hitting it big back in that early 90s time.
Nirvana played the club before they got big, so did Green Day. No one knew who they were. A year later, they busted out.
Amazing to see such acts in an intimate space. Now, since we're spinning early alternative classics from vinyl, why don't we do a couple of the earliest known recordings by both of those bands? If you were lucky enough to catch them at Continental, it might have sounded like this.
Sweet.
couple of the earliest recordings by Green Day in 1991, the Sweet Children EP, and Nirvana for Polly live in London in 1989. That's 2 years before Nevermind broke. And it was around the time they graced the little stage at Continental. We should talk, actually, at this point about one of the great kind of hardcore punk bands of that scene of any time, Murphy's Law.
Absolutely. Great band, great friends of mine. They played every New Year's, St. Patty's, and Halloween for 15 years. Sold the room out 3 times a year, and I'm really glad that Murphy's Law is part of the reunion.
Whatever possessed them to cover Ebony and Ivory by Paul?
Well, they
Steve.
Speed it up a lot. But I guess it's a little tongue-in-cheek, too.
People are new to the area listening to us at this moment, so we're going to just draw a little map so people get oriented. St. Mark's Place, the East Village, Coney Island High, a couple of doors down, St. Mark's Sound, great vinyl shop, as well as CDs across the street. Joey Ramone used to live around the corner. Continental on St. Mark's and 3rd, I believe.
I lived a half a block from Joey. I lived diagonally. He was at 3rd and 9th, and I was at 3rd and 10th.
So this was really a village.
Yeah. The way we met is quite unusual and really special, I think, because I go upstate in the Catskills to an ashram for meditation and yoga, and in my group was Joey. So he looks at me, and he's like, "Where do I know you from?" And I said, "You walk by my club every day." And we got to talking music and stuff, and we hit it off. Then he started coming in. And a few months later, he said, "Could I do my birthday show here?" And I'm like, sure. Then he would pick about 6, 7, 8 bands a few times a year and call it Joey Ramone's Unsigned to support the local scene.
And by the way, the visuals of Joey Ramone yoga, Joey Ramone downward dog with the hair dangling in front of it. I mean, did you actually witness this?
He was more into the meditative aspect.
Okay.
We want to welcome Hex, the new bass player, to the fold.
All right.
That's right, get in the spirit. You might know this one is called I Want to Be Sedated. Thank you.
Neighborhood guy Joey Ramone live at Continental. The club's longtime proprietor Trigger is here with us. We're saluting the East Village and Lower East Side. There are plenty of celebs in residence today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Handsome Dick Manitoba. I hung out with the Dead Boys the first night they pulled into New York City from Cleveland, Ohio.
Other East Village locals these days include Ryan Adams, Julian Casablancas, Richard Hell, John Leguizamo, Connor Oberst, Daniel Radcliffe. Imagine Harry Potter lives in the East Village, and Iggy Pop, which brings us to what might be Continental's most infamous performance. And we'll hear it played off some very exclusive vinyl. But first, Trigger, tell us, how did it all happen?
Well, I was leaning on my bar a few weeks before this show, and somebody taps me on the shoulder and said, "Are you Trigger?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He says, "I'm Iggy Pop. Can I play your club?" So this is quite surreal. I'm a huge fan. And I said what I say to everybody when they ask me about a show. I said, "Well, bring me a demo and let me hear what you sound like," being a New York wise ass, you know. So Iggy is a totally sweet, humble rock star. Said, "Okay, man, I'll bring you something tomorrow." And I said, "I'm only kidding. When do you want to play?" And 3 weeks later, he did his show. The place was so crowded that I had to pick about 20 friends to put behind the bar that I trusted.
Oh, it's your place, isn't it? Huh? Okay. Listen, we got the fire department outside. I gotta do one song and cut it.
And eventually, Iggy played about an hour and a half. The fire department showed up, and he goes, "Yeah, so what?" And I said, "Well, they're saying we gotta shut the show down. I'm too crowded." He goes, "Trigger," he said, "let's keep playing, and your club will get shut down eventually, and it'll become legendary."
Thank you.
So I said, all right, let's go for it. And he kept playing, and the fire department finds me, and they couldn't even get to the stage. It was so crowded. And they said, what's happening? I thought you said you're going to stop the show. And I said, well, I tried. And they said, where's your sound system? So they find the board, and they start pulling out plugs. And I'm looking at Iggy going like this, and he realizes his voice isn't coming through the PA, throws the mic into the air, and he just keeps playing a cappella. And, you know, he's giving the fire department the finger, and he's body surfing and singing until the fire department eventually made their way to the stage. They never put their hands on him or anything. They got a kick out of it. But they shut me down for a couple of weeks for being overcrowded. And the club became legendary. Yeah. Iggy was right. And I see Iggy now and then, and it's always very sweet and that we had that incredible night together. And he did get to play over an hour, well over an hour and a half that night.
We're talking to Trigger. He's the man behind The Continental, the history of this music, the culture of this East Village and Lower East Side, New York rock. There's nothing like it in the world. Where is the scene at today? We'll ask Trigger how Brooklyn stacks up, and we'll do vinyl spins of some modern indie rock, a taste of Latino and New Yorican, as an Englishman experienced it, all on the way.
The Continental is putting out a Best of New York City Live at the Continental, and we're recording tonight.
We're the Bouncing Souls.
We're going to have a couple of songs on it, so.
There you go. You're on it now.
Yeah. The East Village and the Lower East Side have been New York's incubator for cool music from about 1970 to the early 2000s. The closings of the Fillmore East and, in our time, CBGB's weren't the end of the world, but they did precede a shift eastward. So, Trigger, how does Brooklyn stack up? I mean, is Bedford Avenue the new St. Mark's Place?
I grew up in Brooklyn. You know, I'm a New Yorker, so I'm real proud that there's a lot going on in Brooklyn. I guess about 10, 12, 14 years ago, Williamsburg started. You know, there was a buzz about Williamsburg. The rents were still reasonable. So people started moving out to Brooklyn. It was a bit bohemian, but then the rents started going up in Williamsburg. I guess Bushwick is coming up now. At least it's happening somewhere. Manhattan's unaffordable for everybody.
Well, one thing's for sure, the trails that were blazed in Lower East Manhattan made it right across the river. New York still nurtures great bands, like Pains of Being Pure at Heart. Let's play the song Young Adult Friction, and it's for everyone who squeezes into the L train on Saturday nights.
Begin to see.
We began today with the East Side pioneers like David Peel. We took it through the 90s and up to today, just there with the Pains of Being Pure at heart. But let's bring our Lower East Side tour home with an artist and a performance that could only happen here. And thanks to Continental's Trigger as well for being our tour guide and offering some rare recordings. I guess, Trigger, every so often, you can go home again.
You know, in the 50s, the Beats lost their jazz clubs eventually. And in the 60s, the hippies lost their community centers and art galleries and all of that. It's inevitable. You just got to keep fighting the good fight. There'll be pockets of creativity and energy. There'll always be the crazy, mad, creative, fun, deviant types. Power to them. You know, they keep things going. They keep things exciting.
Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine. Milton, pot of thieves, wild cord on my sleeve. Thick, heart of stone, my sins my own, they belong to me, me. People say beware, but I don't care. The words are just rules and regulations to me, me.
Here she comes, walking down the street. Here she comes, coming through my door. Here she
And now, a Lower East Side epilogue. Joe Jackson shot to fame doing the kind of punky new wave that the East Village scene helped nurture, but by the early 80s, the Lower East Side was growing and diversifying into the cradle of New Yorican, Latin jazz, and Joe's instrumental piece, Loisida, from his album Body and Soul, captures the rough beauty of that neighborhood on a winter morning, like this one.
Thank you.
And that's the vinyl experience. Conversation with Trigger Smith, recorded in 2011. Find more Vinyl Experience radio shows in the archives of PRN.FM and RTDS.ca. I'm Paul Cavalcante.